You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody, as you always are here on Tuesday afternoons, 12 Pacific Standard Time. No, we're now in Daylight Savings Time, but it's PST all over the world, wherever you're at. Thanks so much for joining us here on the couch. And we have a great show today. What an amazing guest. I've been really trying to get Sherry on my show for such a long time. We finally got together. We finally hooked it up. Yay, Sherry, we did.
Yeah.
That's right. I love it. So I'm going to start out to the viewers and listeners right now by asking you a few questions.
You got it.
Guys, girls, are you really tired of consistently being drawn to toxic partners who are emotionally or even physically abusive or manipulative? Are you tired of that? Are you so desperate to keep a relationship alive that you'll do almost anything to support your partner? I know. I mean, are you becoming codependent? You know, I mean, unintentionally, it just happens, right? Well, if you guys are ready to break these patterns and you want to find healthy relationships, you can't leave the show today because my guest is an expert. She's going to help you. And her name is Sherry Gaba. She is your guide right now. Hi, Sherry. Welcome to the show. That's great.
Okay. Well, I'm just excited to be here and for you giving me this platform today. And just a note that you were, you know, like I was telling the producer, you know, you were ahead of your time, Michelle, doing this internet podcast radio stuff. So impressed.
Thank you so much. It's been, you know, with the help of Sam, who is our producer of all the shows, actually, and the owner, he's made it possible. He is the pioneer. He's the man who rocks it.
Yes, he's a trailblazer. I mean, yes. I was in that studio years ago, and yes. I just great that now you're kind of moving into a remote world like the rest of us.
Exactly. We can do this. We can do this. Let me introduce you all to Sherry. Sherry Gaba is a licensed psychotherapist. There's a lot to be said here, and I could take up probably half an hour of the show talking about her accolades here, but I'll try to make it as concise as I can. She is a psychotherapist, LCSW, life coach, media relationship expert, and author. And we're also going to be talking about her latest book today. It's called, and I love this, Sherry, it's called Love Smacked. Can you just, I mean, it's a visual, right? How to Stop the Cycle of Relationship Addiction, Codependency, and Toxic Partnerships. So what Sherry does, and I'll just give this a brief so you can elaborate more on this for us, Sherry. She helps people cope with codependency, love addiction, toxic relationships, and mental health issues. She's also the author of Infinite Recovery, Six Steps of Mindfulness, Positive Thinking, and the Law of Attraction to Break Free of Addiction. And Sherry is a contributing author, writer, to the book Chicken Soup for the Soul, Tough Times, Tough People. You've probably also seen Sherry on VH1's Celebrity Rehab. I know you've seen her on Inside Edition, CNN, The Robert Irvine Show, Access Live, E! News, among others. And of course, she hosts her own show, The Love Fix. You got to see that podcast. It's really great. Anyway, you're also the founder of Wake Up Recovery, right? Are you working with that as well, Sherry?
Right. I have a membership where it's online coaching, and it's a place where people can work with me live with other people going through similar issues such as love addiction or toxic relationships. So I would love to give out the link or put it in your show notes and people can check it out. It's, you know, it's a wonder. There are many wonderful things. Now we can work with the world and we can make things available. So that's really, that's why I formed this beautiful community.
What a great idea. That's amazing. Well, thank you so much for being on the show today. This is going to be great. And because I know you have a lot of patients who are going through this and have gone through this for years. I mean, it's like, and I think also, you know, with COVID, a lot of people have sort of stuck with partners for fear of getting outside of their, you know, comfort zone, right?
That's right.
Yeah, that's what's been going on. But I'd really like to know more about your story. So what made you become, you know, a leader and an expert in relationships, especially toxic relationships?
Well, what happened was my whole thing was addiction for after I did VH1 Celebrity Rehab. I was working with addiction, alcoholism, worked at a rehab in Malibu. I was married to an alcoholic. And one day I just realized, you know, everything is about him. I'm like, it's about him. And I, you know, I need to take a look at this and kind of peel back the layers of my own life because we're human. So I really did have codependent and love addicted traits. And so I got myself a fantastic trauma therapist. And that's really how it kind of switched over from addiction to working in this field, because really there are rehabs all over the place, but who's really helping the person who's the codependent, the love addict? And as love addicts, you know, if you learn as I go into what love addiction is, more prone to pick toxic relationships because you'll settle for less. So I'm not sure your audience of addiction is. I'm happy to go into that if you'd like.
Yeah, I'd love that. And if you could define more what relationship addiction is, and I love also talking about some of those signs, because ad nauseum, I know you have talked to your patients and said, okay, now I want you to just really, really hear this. If this is what's going on, you know, so.
Yeah, well, it's important to not be feeling shameful, or it's not about shame or blame. There are reasons that we got to this place. You being a therapist understand that. Love addiction is a process addiction. So it's not like a substance. When you think of things like food or shopping or dieting or exercise, those are all process addictions or lifestyle addictions, soft addictions. But it's the same, it has the same result as a substance abuse. So when the break occurs, there's this longing for that attachment to that person. You want all those pleasurable feelings just like an addict would. So you have the withdrawal symptoms. And then codependency is kind of coupled with that, where you start adapting to what other people want. Because the biggest thing with love addicts is they don't want to be alone. They fear abandonment. They have separation anxiety. And they have anxious attachment styles, which are some of the things that I with alone, fear of the unknown. They're always fitting into, they're kind of putting themselves into a pretzel position to fit in.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. And then you're going to be more prone to settle because of this. And you need a lot of validation. You need a lot of affirmation. You fear abandonment. You have the same withdrawal symptoms. Yes. And you just give up who you are because you really lose yourself, because you'll do whatever it takes to not be alone. And that was my story. In my book, Connect, I talk about the different relationships. And there's so much shame around that when people have been more than once, which I have. And I want people to say, no more shame. Let's eradicate the shame. There are reasons to go to this place.
Right. And, you know, people do keep repeating the same patterns until they finally decide to come to a specialist. And they say, what's going on here? Well, here I go again. I found someone else who's almost a carbon copy of my last woman or man. So what's up with that?
Exactly. Right. Well, you know, it's basically same different face, different name, the same person.
Yes, exactly.
So some people don't even know
they do that, don't they?
Toxic relationship. They think, you know, there's a lot of overuse of the word narcissistic abuse. You know, if you go on Instagram, I even do a lot of posts about it on my Instagram, which is called Codependency Curious. But these are the things you look for. And as a love addict, you're going to be more prone to someone where you're ruminating, obsessing about them. These are some of the signs that you're in a toxic relationship. You are really noticing all the subtle changes in their texts. You can't stop ruminating over them. You're walking eggshells, you know, because you're always worried, are they going to leave me? Are they going to stay? You feel guilty for everything, because toxic individuals will blame you for everything. And it's a full-blown state. Intensity, a lot of fighting, a lot of manipulation, a lot of control. You know, they often insult you, criticize, yell at you, devalue you.
Yes.
It can lead to domestic violence, which is the worst kind of abuse. Disrespect, dishonesty, betrayal, cheating. But, you know, and the biggest thing is that you find yourself kind of losing yourself. You lack self-care, and you stop taking care of yourself emotionally, you know, because you're making this person your whole life. So those are the signs of being with
them. And it's almost like we become brainwashed and we question ourselves. It's like, wow, maybe I am like that, you know, and that's triggering on old messages maybe we got when we were really young. And especially, you know, when they, as we have all learned, right, the term gaslight us. It's gaslighting. Can you hear about that?
It came from a movie, I think it was called Gaslight.
Yeah.
She was making her crazy thing, you know, telling him that the lights were, I don't remember the details,
right,
but it's where there's no congruence between what you say and what is. And so you start question your reality. And the reason love addicts, codependents might be more prone to this second guessing themselves, because if you look at their early trauma, they didn't really have that bonding, that connection. So they didn't really have a sense of who they are. So then they end up with this guy or woman that's gaslighting them. And they're like, I don't know what the reality is. I never knew what the reality is, because my reality is everything related to you. So you start to believe these lies. It's really powerful, and you get addicted to these relationships.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it's very hard to get out, because you've been really been.
So gaslighting is what I've heard is, you know, a lot of the people who are toxic, you know, say to their partners, are you okay? You seem a little off. Is there something bothering you? I mean, I don't think you're remembering things correctly. You know, they start to mess with your head again to ask questions.
And if you haven't done the work and you have this history of trauma and you don't feel grounded in who you are, you don't have an authentic self, you are going to be more prone to believing that stuff.
Yeah.
What's so confusing is when they first meet you, they do what's called love bombing.
Right.
Constantly, they're kind of sucking you in. And this is their manipulation technique. And they're telling you things like, oh, I love everything about you. I've never met anyone like you. We're soulmates. I mean, I had a guy last year tell me, you know, on our first date, I'm going to marry you, which is just hysterical.
Oh, my God.
Very scary. But, you know, they're texting you all the time, and they're telling you how fabulous you are. They're sending you, they're giving you gifts, they're sending you flowers. They're convincing you that you're soulmates, you know, we're born to be together. It's fate that we met, all these crazy things.
Yeah.
But the biggest thing that you want to look for is when you try to set a boundary, which already is difficult for codependent love addicts. They have very loosey-goosey boundaries. But if you try and this person gets upset, you're definitely dealing with a toxic person, because they do not adhere to boundaries. There's like no way they want to do what you do. They're just not going to do it. No is not in it. Vocabulary.
Right, exactly. And they keep pursuing and pursuing, and they, you know, just sort of test. If you pull back and you do draw boundaries, they probably won't pull back, or they may a little bit, but then they'll wait until you're vulnerable again.
Right. That's still abuse. You know, you'll just, we call it the honeymoon phase, but it'll be really sweet, and sweet, but the tension is building. And then all of a sudden it's back again. Mm-hmm. Devaluing you, criticizing you. So it's this, and that's that crazy making, because one minute they're really like, you know, come here, go away. And it's a dance. And unfortunately, love addict codependents are prone to getting into these kind of relationships. And that has a lot.
So what if, So that makes so much sense. What is the difference between being in love in a real normal, as we say, normal relationship, and sort of being obsessed?
Okay. So in obsession, it's you're ruminating. You're constantly thinking about this person. It's not a slow and steady road. It's very fast. It's very slow, steady. You get to know someone. You know, when you first meet someone, you fall in love instantly. Sure. You think about them constantly. Mm-hmm. And to fantasize about a future together. This is more the obsessive type of love. Partners with attention. You feel ability to fix them. You're not authentic. You turn yourself into a pretzel so they'll want you. Mm. You're hypervigilant. You overreact to the slightest sign that they're moving away, because you have that anxious style. And then you feel lost, empty, and your self-worth is just, you know, down, it's in the toilet. Healthy love is just, it's just not that. It's
yeah.
It's safe. I think, you know, it's a secure attachment. It's where you feel like you can count on this person. You can trust this person.
Yeah.
You're not scared. You're not anxious.
Yes.
You know, you would think people know this, but a lot of people, we don't know this.
I know. And it's just, this is wonderful because books like yours and classes like yours and therapy like yours is this is what people need to learn about and hear about. So by the way, let me just share with everybody. Go ahead, Sherry.
Oh, go ahead. No, but some people still believe in that, you know, that fairy tale fantasy. You know, you have a grandchild. I have a granddaughter and a grandson. Yeah. She's still reading about princesses. I took her to a Disney show, and it's like, we're still 2022 and we're still talking about somebody saving you. And that's where it begins, really.
Wow. You know, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, I don't know about you, but I was just that my favorite, you know, with Cinderella. I'm going to be saved from that whole story. I want to go on the stage show and see it and live it, you know, and all, from when I was a little kid.
Today. I mean, grow up with that kind of pop culture.
Right.
And you really believe that someone is going to fix everything. But that isn't to say that when you meet the right person and you feel secure and you feel protected and you feel like you can count on this person, there's nothing wrong with that. But it has to start with you, you know, and that you have to have a connection to yourself. And if you have trauma, which I had, and I was premature, and in those days, I'm 63, and in those days, mothers were not allowed to hold the premature baby. So I was 3 months.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. It's really sad.
I mean, it really is sad. But that's,
you know that we need the bonding, we need the nurturing. And I really, from the get-go, was looking for love outside of myself. And that's really what love addicts do. You know, we want to be loved. And so that's why the trauma therapy is, I don't know if you do trauma therapy, Michelle, but I'm sure you do, but that's so important. Because until you release that, until you really learn how to regulate your nervous system, you're going to constantly be, you know, hypervigilant, fight or flight. The newest one is fawn. You're going to become a people pleaser. So we got to get that trauma with resolved.
And God, is that true?
That's the heart of all of this, really.
It really is. And as you pointed out, Sherry, you know, people, oh my God, it can start so early. I mean, right after birth. These are imprints that we're all of a sudden, this is how we survive, you know. So you, my goodness, girl, you had early imprints.
I had real early imprints. And when finally, there was a name for it. Like, oh, I have trauma from from not being held, from not being at that early. That, you know, you see with your grandchildren or with your child that you mirror and you look at them.
Oh my God,
the connection. Well,
that
you're always kind of out there in the ethers, you know, trying to get what you need. And so I had to do a lot of really hard work. And after my last divorce, I'm like, I'm not doing this anymore. I am going to get the help I need, even as a therapist. And I tell people that because, again, we're just human, Michelle. We're just, you know, we got our own stuff that we're always working out. And I'm grateful that I found the right person and I've been able to take this work into the world. And I'm not ashamed to talk about it. So that's my story. And other people.
Good for you, girl.
Yeah.
That's a beautiful story.
Thank you, Michelle. Yeah. I mean, you know, you could be a person that came from an alcoholic.
Oh, no.
You were neglected. You were abused. God forbid, molested. These are all trauma responses that are going to show up in your adult relationships. So we have to be really mindful of that.
Absolutely. Right. Exactly. And there are so many, there are a lot of, like you said, there are a lot of groups, you know, and codependence groups, which can be helpful as well, but they're primarily geared towards, you know, children of alcoholics or family members of alcoholics.
Right. And that's why I formed my group, because not only did I get the trauma therapy I needed, but I also found great support in support groups like the one that I have created. And there's nothing more powerful than knowing that other people have been through what you've been through. I mean, you know, when I was a single mother, I joined a single parent group. When I was married to an alcoholic, the Al-Anon. Specific things for love addicts and people that have been in toxic relationships. And that is my passion, to support them. I mean, last night we had our group coaching call, and one person, I from 2 months, she's, And I'm not saying it's from the group, but she started doing tapping and she started, you know, healing this stuff. And she's doing fantastic. And it's nice to know that other people go through what you go through and that there's transformation on the other side.
Beautiful. Can you talk a little bit more about your group and other ways that you've helped people?
Well, we get together once a month for our call. I also do trauma psychotherapy. Where I, you know, do somatic work where we get in our bodies and we release that trauma that's been held. Mm-hmm. I also do the tapping. I do some polyvagal work where we learn how to regulate our nervous system, because for any addict, they're not comfortable in their own skin.
Right.
It doesn't matter if it's drugs, sex, shopping, they can't hold and contain ground themselves in a comfortable way. And so we have to learn these self-soothing tools so we can sit with ourselves. I mean, for me, it was like, I don't want to feel pain. I'm just going to go find myself another guy. If you smell good, that's what I'm going to do.
Right.
For a minute. And we have to be able to sit with ourselves. And so that's part of what I do, is I teach people self-soothing tools. And I'm very
blessed. Sherry, I mean, my goodness, isn't that amazing? By the way, folks, if you just tuned in here, my special guest today, Sherry Gaba, and she has done so much to help other people, as you've heard. She's a licensed psychotherapist, life coach, media relationship expert. You've seen her all over in various media venues. And we're talking about her books in general, and particularly her latest book, Love Smacked: How to Stop the Cycle of Relationship Addiction, Codependency, and Toxic Partnerships. And it just seems like it's almost like happening so much more these days. What with, you know, COVID coming on, as we talked about, and now it's, and people are still hanging on to these toxic relationships because it's just so comfortable. And like you said, you know, we get codependent and it's really difficult to get out of the relationship as well. Exactly. So do you think, what I see, let me just tell you what I see, and then I think you'll agree with me. A lot of these, you know, reality shows, the media really does depict a lot of overly obsessive relationships.
Yeah, you think like The Bachelor.
Oh my God. I mean, that's not good for young women. It's not healthy to watch that.
It's kind of amazing these things are still going on. But, you know, it is what it is. It sells. I mean,
that's it does sell.
I mean, and you know, but they also have other, remember Fatal Attraction? Of course.
Oh my God, yes.
It's all about obsessive love, or Beyonce movie called Obsessed.
Right.
Exactly. So yeah, I think the media definitely plays into all of this. And I'd like early stars princess.
Right. She got kissed by the prince to wake her up.
And now there's Pocahontas.
Now that is really, that's
Ariel. And there's, I mean, I'm telling you, there must have been like, I think my granddaughter, she has a princess t-shirt. It has like 8 different princesses.
Right.
And how can you take that? I mean, what are you going to do? But it's still that idea that someone is going to make their life better. And we got to work with these kids and really teach them. And it starts starts with you, a connection with yourself. Nothing outside of you is going to fix you.
Right, exactly. And it is. I mean, it anything for that matter, you know, you're so right, Sherry. Anything, any kind of, you know, I want to get a new car so I can impress other people. I want to get this so I can impress. I want other people to like me, so I'm going to get something outside of me. I'm going to get a person who's going to love me, and that will make me all better.
Well, look at where we live in California, Los Angeles. Yeah. Surgery and the, you know, having to, I mean, it's just not like this in other places. I've been visiting Florida a lot because I'm planning on moving there part time, and it's different. I mean, people are just regular people. They're not, it's not about, you know, what you weigh or what you, I mean, yes, we should eat healthy, but, you know, organic food isn't like, you know, on the menu necessarily.
Yeah, right, exactly.
I'm not putting down organic food or anything. We're just, we're obsessed with looking beautiful, and somehow that's going to make us feel better. And if we look younger, that's going to make us feel better. And it's crazy. It's
It is crazy. And it is media driven, so much of it.
Yeah.
You know, and again, getting attention from outside, you know, social media, you know, because of COVID again, has been going crazy. And I know you've worked with a lot of patients who are really looking for partners on social media. So that's a whole different subject here, but I mean, you're very savvy in terms of
about digital dating.
Yeah.
And so I would say for a love addict, that's a pretty scary territory, because when you go on these apps, for instance, you know, there's a really good chance you're going to be ghosted. You're going to be swiped away.
Oh boy.
And so you really have to, again, hold your center. And if you're going to go on those apps, you have to just say that is part of being on this app. It has nothing to do with me, because and I hear this over and over again.
Yes.
It's like being a kid in a candy store, and you're just, you know, you don't understand. I'm having this conversation that this person seemed really interested, and now they disappeared. Like, what's up with that? That is what it is. So if you can't, if that's not safe for you, and if the rejection doesn't feel, and it really isn't personal rejection, but it might trigger those feelings of rejection. If you have early issues of abandonment or trauma, don't go on the apps. You've got to find other ways to find people. You know, you can join, go play pickleball. I mean, whatever.
Right.
I took up outrigger canoeing and I made friends that way. And that was a fantastic sport for me.
Yes.
You know, and the thing is, it's about connection. So it's not really just about finding someone. It's about connection. Like, I'm connected. Exactly. Other people, and we all need that. And the COVID really, really made a lot of us isolate. I mean, just as guilty of that isolation sometimes.
Sure. I mean, we've had to, if we're smart, you know, to do that, just to isolate and all. And that's really good information, you know, about sort of what to look for and what, you know, what not to react to, just to know what you're dealing with if you insist on doing, you know, social media dating and online dating and all that, because I mean, you don't really know anyone, you know, and it's not, you can't take any of it personally, really. You know, you're just talking to someone.
And on the other side of things, you can find someone too. I mean,
you sure can.
I'm certainly not against it. I just think you do it in a mindful, thoughtful way, and to understand, you know, what it's about. The other thing I want to say is, and I think you'll appreciate this as a media person and a therapist, is that watch, you know, the people that you watch on social media, you know, who are they? What is their background? Do they have a license? My feed is Codependency Curious on Instagram, and I'm
good.
Sorry, I'm coughing.
Also. No, that's okay. I have my tea too.
But be careful who you're hiring, who you're working with. You know, what is their background? Because there's a lot of noise on social media about narcissist abuse and toxic relationships and codependency. So, you know, be mindful, like be discerning. Mm-hmm. Like, who am I going to listen to? Because there's so much social media out there on the subject.
Right, exactly. There really is a lot of information. So can we... what is trauma bonding? That's something that I'm always interested in. And I'd like people to talk more about that.
Sure. So trauma bonding, there's three different types of trauma bonds. There can be the type where you find someone in your life that you have similar background. So when I married the alcoholic, he had severe abandonment issues, and so did I. So imagine us, we're bonded together by this past.
Right.
The other type could be, let's say you were abused by your parents. So the siblings become trauma bond because their parents were unavailable or were abusive. So you as siblings, like I remember my ex, you know, his sister could do no wrong.
Oh, yes.
They had these horrible parents. So even if the sister was abusive or the sister was, you know, stealing money from him, it didn't matter because it was his sister and they had this bond from this horrible childhood. And then the other trauma bond is being in a relationship where there's the ups and downs and the person is loving one minute and the next minute they're taking it away, or they're giving and then they're taking, you know, there's this magnetic field that sort of
right.
And with the talk, you know, when you talked about gaslighting earlier, we call it cognitive dissonance, where there's this action and what they say do not match. And so you actually become addicted in this relationship, this high activated relationship of ups and downs, abusive relationships have these trauma bonds just because of the nature of the abuse.
Yes.
Of the highs and lows.
Right.
Being 1 minute and then discarding or devaluing the next minute. So you're always looking, especially with a narcissist person, look at that. Now he's met, you know, it's never going to be that because now it's a whole other cycle to it. But that is the trauma bond. And you actually get addicted to the peptides of the trauma bond. And so that's why people will say, why didn't you leave him? Well, you didn't leave him or her because it was really hard because you were bonded. You have this really severe bonding. So it's very real, and it's really important for people not to feel bad or shameful if they have trouble getting out of this very manipulative relationship.
Boy, is that true. You know, a lot of people who come to me say, you know, I've been doing a lot of online reading about toxic people. And, you know, I've read this thing about Axis 2 Cluster B personality disorders.
Oh, don't you love it?
Right. So they start, I mean, it's valid in a way, but they start saying, I think I'm married, or I think I'm dating a borderline, or someone who has narcissistic PD, or histrionic, or antisocial. Right. You know, it doesn't necessarily mean that someone has all of these DSM diagnoses in order to be a narcissist, right?
Basically, the real, you know, the definition is they lack empathy.
Yeah.
You're dealing with someone, you know, their brain is wired differently. My mother, after my father died, met a man who was a 100% full-blown narcissist. It was all about him. He came in and he was also a con man or a sociopath. And he went in and manipulated this older woman who was grieving. And that's a full-blown narcissist. But there are people that can have traits. But the truth is, it doesn't really matter if if you're in this toxic situation and you're uncomfortable and you're being abused, it doesn't really matter what the label is. It's like, well, how do I feel when I'm in this relationship? Do I feel secure, or am I living in a crazy making relationship?
Right.
Cause like I said earlier, we always want to work towards being in a secure attached relationship, but yes, people will throw out these labels. And that's why I brought up the social media thing, because you gotta be, you know, really careful where you're getting your information.
It's really true. Exactly. And people, of course, everyone has a PR campaign if they have a website, or, you know, if you see them and check them out, which everybody does when they're starting to get to know someone online on their Facebook or whatever their Instagram social media is or something. But like you said, don't buy into everything you're seeing. You still need to take a while to get to know someone.
Do your homework before you are a therapist. You know, I didn't know. I didn't want to make this about, you know, other experts out there. Yeah. There are a lot of people that have been in these narcissistic relationships and suddenly they're a narcissistic abuse expert. And that's.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So we just want to be aware.
And you studied for years and years and have been helping people, a therapist. And by the way, guys, in case you just tuned in, this is Sherry Gaba sitting next to me, actually virtually. And we're talking about her latest book. It's called Love Smacked. I love that so much. How to Stop the Cycle of Relationship Addiction, Codependency, and Toxic Partnerships. And we can also talk about her other book as well. And she also has a free book online that you can get. Yay. Really helpful as well.
You have like a do you have a banner that you can put that up, or do you put it on the?
You know what I will put that in the archives. You know, if you'd like more information with your website, you know, where people can link onto your website and get all that great information.
Yeah, the free ebook is called Narcissistic Partners and Obsessive Love. So you can find out if you're in that kind of relationship, and it also has a quiz, and you can go to Sherry Gaba. .com/NP quiz, SherryGaba.com/NP quiz. And then if you want to join the membership, it's wakeuprecovery.com/IG1, wakeuprecovery.com/IG1. It's a $1 trial to see if, you know, you can check out the membership. I know it's, listen, I mean, I became a social worker not to make a lot of money. I do it. because I love it. And I love bringing this message out. And when I get on a coaching call with people, last night, someone was from New Zealand, someone was from Australia, you know, and I feel so blessed.
That right. Exactly.
Well, you're doing the same thing just by being online right now. I mean,
that's the goal, you know, it's all we can do, you know, is our podcasts and of course your amazing books. By the way, besides Love Smacked, you can also check out Sherry's book. It's called Infinite Recovery, 6 Steps of Mindfulness, Positive Thinking, and the Law of Attraction to Break Free from Addiction. And that will also be up in the archives, guys. So you can check that out. And you're so welcome. Thank you, Sherry. The Law of Attraction. Oh my goodness. You know, and that's a whole other, you know, I've been preaching that for years, but I mean,
well, if you think of even like a 12-step program, that is attraction. Like anything that is putting out that positivity, you walk out feeling, energized, you're at a higher vibration, even being on this podcast, anybody's listening to us right now, you're doing the Law of Attraction, you're getting this great information, you know, that you have the ability, you're learning about it, you're acknowledging it, you're working it through, and you're also able to get great, great information. Law of Attraction.
No, exactly. It really is. It's that which you put out, sometimes you get back.
We create our realities by our actions and our thoughts, not just our thoughts, but also our actions and our belief systems, you know. Boy. And if you're walking around believing, oh, I'll never find anybody, or I'm going to be alone forever, or blah, 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 which were some of my limiting beliefs, that's exactly what you're going to create. So you got to create new neural pathways, create new messages, but don't bypass the work that you need to do. If you got to do that trauma work, get a great therapist and do the work.
Right, exactly. And as you said, Sherry, it all starts here. It all starts with, and I think that's really tough, a lot of people to do are, because when you start doing that, then you realize that you deserve that. You know, you have to do that.
So true. And it's connecting to you.
Right.
And some people are like, well, what are you talking about connecting? Yeah. It's about having an intimate relationship with yourself, because if you don't, you can't be intimate with somebody else. I used to blame, you know, I was with this unavailable person, or this unavailable person, or this person was toxic, or this person was an alcoholic. Well, you know what? I picked him, and I picked
there
him.
You go.
I
there
picked
you
him.
Go. Right.
But it was because I didn't have the connection to meet people that weren't connected to themselves.
Exactly. And that's the thing. And people, again, keep, like they ask you, I'm sure, why do I keep picking the same kind of people? And it's like, well, you're kind of codependent. And that's the way it works. Codependent people and narcissists, sort of, there is an attraction, because that narcissist personality, you know, that it, whoop, 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 you know, all the signals are coming through.
Well, think about it. A codependent love addict wants to be needed. Their whole worth is based on you needing me. And the narcissist, not to overuse the word narcissist, toxic person has this thing called a I need lots of attention. So if you need to be needed and this person needs lots of attention, you're the that's what happened with my mother. My mother was grieving my dad, this man financially, really, physical, and every which way abused her because he needed something from her. Yeah, well, it happened. And I share the story because it can happen at any age. It can happen when you're old. Happen when you're young. You got to, they're out there. So if you're needy and you'll settle for anything. And in my mother's case, she was grieving. You're going to, that's make it really, really feel like yourself. I died. And he just came, you know, scooped her up, but it can happen to anybody. So that's why we've got to really have the ability to be with ourselves.
Yes.
Ourselves.
Exactly. It's so true. I had a, you know, similar situation with my mom. I mean, my dad had passed, the same thing. We moved her to, you know, a smaller actually facility, a really nice one of those very upscale. So she started to get a little dementia, a little bit.
That's where my mom started too.
Right. And I remember, you know, the place, I'd go there every other day. It was really close. It's really close to where I live, and it's very upscale. But the thing is my mom started talking about her boyfriend.
Uh-oh.
And I'm saying, her boyfriend. And it was one of the people who, I believe he was one of the chefs in the kitchen. It was really, again, upscale, a dining room chef. And he was younger, and he knew my mom had some wealth.
Yes.
And started trying to sort of court her and compliment her. And it got creepy. It got really creepy.
Yeah,
I know. Same kind of thing, though. But she was very codependent. She was very needy. She was ready. And this guy was a master, you know.
Wow. I hope she had a good trust.
She did.
So did my mother. Because you got to go right in there and you got to, you know, because this happens all the time with caregivers. Right. If you know, someone's at home and they have some caregiver coming in, they'll have that person change their trust or their will, right?
Right.
This is getting off topic, but it kind of, because predator, right, toxic individuals, that's their job.
Exactly.
They have this narcissistic supply need, whether it's financial or attention or whatever it is, physical.
Yes.
We got to talk, Michelle. We're going
to
definitely.
We have to talk. We absolutely do, Sherry, have to talk. Something that I have heard a lot of people tell me is that I'm really working on breaking free. I'm really drawing boundaries. I'm pulling back. I won't take this anymore. But there is, you know, and we talked a little bit about it earlier, and this is why you have your workshop and all your books and all the help that you do and your therapy. The withdrawal is really, I mean, I don't think people realize how hard the withdrawal is from that toxic relationship.
Think of, like, for an addict, we always talk about they're always chasing that first high.
Yeah.
With toxic relationship with a love addict or codependent, they're always chasing that love high for that start to break.
Because if
I meet someone, it's like, oh, I finally got what I've always wanted here. So yeah, it's very addictive. Now, the way to overcome it is you just start looking at all your relationships as opportunities to heal and grow, become more self-aware. Like we've been talking about this whole hour, starting within ourselves, not looking outside.
Right.
Every relationship truly is a manifestation of our relationship with ourselves. So if you're picking toxic people, you probably have a toxic relationship with yourself. And I don't mean to be harsh, but that really.
No, it's true.
So we got to really kind of unpack that. Like I did the work. You got to find a great trauma therapist. You've got to really start accepting and welcoming this process that it doesn't happen overnight. It's a work in progress. You got to unpack that childhood stuff. Got to start building healthy connections with yourself on an emotional level, a spiritual level, a physical level. You got to find the light within, and you have to start reconditioning yourself to become addicted to your healthy self. Yeah. With, you know, looking at yourself as valuable and colorful and vibrant and strong and resourceful. You've got it all. You just got to find it.
It's so true. And I want to, you know, sort of appeal to relatives of people. You know, I have a sister who's amazing. She's really awesome. If you have a sibling or a cousin or another relative or what, a son or daughter, if they're going to listen to you, who might be in a toxic relationship, you know, you can really try to help them by suggesting things like, Sherry, your Wake Up Recovery's relationship coaching program and the kind of therapy you give, and also turn them on to the book, you know, Love Smack, that kind of thing. Don't be an observer. Try to be lovingly involved, you know, with them as well.
And also sometimes what's really scary is these toxic relationships can become violent. So we really do kind of, you know, if you're noticing that this person you love has this controlling relationship, or the person's being isolated or not allowed to be around other people, or controlling what they wear or how they dress, I mean, these are some of the signs you might see in someone that you love. So definitely you want to help support them for sure.
Exactly. Oh, that, you know, that is so true. I mean, it makes so much sense. And again, it's just really being there for someone and understanding. Something else that I wanted to talk about briefly too was I have young women primarily who come to me and they'll say, well, he's not physically violent. He just screams at me for off and on. You know, he'll just start ranting and, you know, raging about, you know, things that I do that don't please him, you know, that kind of thing. And I say, well, you know, there is a difference, of course, between physical and mental abuse. But I mean, in a way, it's not. It's really the physical, of course.
You don't see the signs, you don't see the ratchet.
But it's exactly.
It's just as devaluing. So absolutely, verbal abuse. It's unacceptable, you know. And then you got to look at what am I accepting unacceptable behavior, and that's where you got to really say, okay, what are my boundaries? And again, if you still have codependency traits and love addicted traits and early trauma issues, you don't even maybe know what your boundaries are, and that's where that's where it starts, is figuring out like what is okay, where's my line in the sand. So I think that's a really good point. Verbal abuse can be just as toxic. Absolutely.
Absolutely. We're taking in that hateful, negative energy that others are projecting onto you, usually because of their trauma in the past. Or
what happens is codependents think they can fix it, just like they can fix their alcoholic husband.
Sure, exactly.
Change them. They think they can somehow, you know, if I just do it this way, or if I do it that way, or whatever they think. And I mean, this is someone with very low self-esteem, but you cannot fix them. You can, unfortunately, women are still raised to think that that's their job.
Exactly.
Men too. Yeah. Many of men too that have those ideas in their mind that somehow they're going to change that person. It's not your job to change anybody.
It's not their job. And before, you know, we're going to have to get going pretty soon, but I just wanted to let people know about you, Sherry Gaba, again, and your book, Love Smacked, How to Stop the Cycle of Relationship Addiction and Codependency, to find love and action to break free from addiction. And also Sherry's free ebook, Narcissistic Partners and Obsessive Love ebook and quiz. Yay. Take the quiz, guys. Right. And we'll have all this up on the website here on LA Talk Radio under On the Couch with Dr. Michelle.
Thank you.
You're so welcome, Sherry. And don't forget, by the way, Sherry's membership coaching program, Wake Up Recovery, an online group coaching program that applies the principles of positive psychotherapy, law of attraction, mindfulness, codependence, love addicts, toxic relationships. And it's a $1 a month trial. I mean, how can you go wrong with that? That's the best.
Exactly. It's actually a week, $1 a week to check it out. And then it goes to $27. So how can you go wrong? You're right.
Sounds great. Which you sure learn a lot with it, I'll tell you. Sherry, thank you so much for being here with me. You're terrific.
And thank you for what you're doing in the world too, Michelle.
All right. Take good care and we'll talk later. Uh-huh. All right, everybody. Thanks for being here on the couch with me, Dr. Michelle. And it's been a pleasure. As I always say, as Sherry was saying too, do take care of yourself first and then you'll be great for others. Not narcissistic. It's the way it works. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, right here on LA Talk Radio.